Great to have your company, Adelaide. She is a very ordinary Wednesday out there. Sorry to get outside my lane, Juice, as I welcome the man who could do it in the dry, or the wet, or the wind, or even the cyclonic conditions we have right now. Andrew Juice Newton Jarman.
Good afternoon, Louis. Good afternoon, family. 17 degrees, showers, very windy. 6 to 15 mil of rain is upon us, Lulu. Winds, 20 to 30 kilometre, increasing to 30 to 45. We're going to have 60 kilometre winds, if not 100. Yeah. She's coming down, mate. So batten down the hatches, batten down the families, and look after and drive carefully on those treacherous roads, Lou.
I think that's the most important thing. And to my brethren in the east, just tie up your boats nice and tight, all right? Make sure they're okay down there. Moored extra tight. A couple extra slipknots.
We need this rain, so it's very, very good.
Have we got a special show today?
Oh, I'm excited.
An outstanding show. We're going to be joined by Fox Sports, the one and only. We've been chasing him for years. Andrew Symons, Roy Boy, is going to join us to talk cricket. He's got a great story to tell about him and Matty Hayden too, and a little accident they had in a boat one day. Peter Dixon is going to join us. He's done a great doco. He's on Fox tonight. It is about Australia and India and the history of our great rivalry. And you can catch it 4:45 tonight before
Fox,
the T20
yep.
on Fox, and part two tomorrow night. Get it in now on your phone and do your IQ crap, all that stuff, and record it.
I've just been watching some of it. It's fascinating.
If you love your cricket and you love your history and you want to know a bit more about it and relive a bit of the past days, it is just must-see TV. Pete's going to come and join us
this hour, Pete.
As well. Yeah. Apparently the Crows are selling the farm. I'm here to tell you they're not. They're not. And for those spreading such salacious rumours, honestly, two things. One.
What have you heard?
Oh, picks 8, 13 and something, whatever else to get lecocious.
First pick for
2019. Honestly, can we just hurry it up? It's tomorrow night, isn't it?
It is tomorrow night.
Oh, thank God for that. All right. Jesus. Just relax on down, everyone. You'll be hearing all these sorts of rumours floating around that it's all happening. It's not. All right, just let it play out naturally in front of itself. There's no mail.
So where
there's
no leak. Where is Lukosius going?
Oh, apparently, yeah. Lukosius to Adelaide for the farm.
No.
I didn't realise the lovely boys had a farm. I mean, I know you sold Westlakes.
Well,
it's probably good great.
Left of that.
Probably good grazing grounds.
I drove past the other day. It's just the oval and the bar.
Did you feel empty?
I actually took some photos.
Yeah.
And I was a bit emotional.
Did you reminisce and remember that time you and Maz tried to get out to the centre? All right, strap yourselves
here
in.
We got
a massive one. 1-3-3-5-3. Join the conversation right now. Timmy Cahill, he got 10 minutes last night.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Graham Arnold, but not after that.
Stiff or soft?
Absolutely, Timmy Cahill is as stiff as I've ever seen. An Australian icon. Not even afforded the luxury.
Louis, 39 years old.
Of a correct send-off. Disgusting behaviour by the Socceroos.
He had two touches in 9 minutes of soccer.
Handing him a badge.
He's
been a rush out. 1-3-3-5-3. Timmy Cahill.
G'day, Sean.
Where's the sentiment? We don't go to Mervetown in the opening break. He's not a wet weather player.
He's not, is he?
All right. He doesn't play at Wembley.
He's a scaredy cat.
Triple M.
Did you watch the friendly last night?
No, I didn't.
V Lebanon?
No, I didn't. You know why? Because after Graham Arnold said he'll probably get 5 minutes in that by he being Tim Cahill.
Farewell.
Our greatest ever.
Yeah.
To be farewelled off.
Yep.
Getting some charity minutes at the end.
Right.
I was never going to watch because I knew he wasn't going to get any time.
But you've got to support your country.
What a crap fixture for him to even be playing in. Honestly. Playing the other night when we played against some decent talent. And the other one, while I'm at it.
Oh, here he goes.
You didn't have to start him, right?
Yeah.
But at least put him on early-ish in the first or the start of the second.
And then once he was cooked.
And then when he's cooked, allow the stadium to give him rapture support and send
that.
Him off. Not at the end when it's done.
I agree with that. He put Jimmy Jago on before.
Our man.
And Jimmy, that was the first time he's ever played in an Australian strip, young Jimmy, Timmy.
The other thing too, which I'm hearing secondhand, he outused Jeff Fennec. Oh, Jeffrey.
Oh, no.
Jeffrey Fennec.
Don't.
I love yous all. Well, Timmy was loving yous left, right and centre as well. But he did, for the first time ever, in his own words, and here he is talking to SBS after the game, get a little bit emotional.
I found it very difficult to keep my emotions in. It's the first time in my career that I've cried on the football pitch, and I'm proud of it. I'm so proud because, you know, I'm leaving the game on such a high with so many great memories with Australia, with my teammates.
I reckon that's a direct stab at you.
Why?
He said, I cried. And I'm proud of it because he knows your take on men who cry
when they retire.
Are you off him?
A bit uncomfortable. No, I love him. I think what he's done for Australian football has been remarkable.
He also got a bit of touch of the Jimmies from Seinfeld.
I've realised that just being an Australian and enjoying the sport is probably the best thing for Tim Cahill now.
Oh. The third person. No, I tell you what, no.
If he wasn't so beloved, we'd be all over him. We would be all over him, Jar. If he didn't have the playing record, had he not delivered the goods on the big stage, I tell you what, right now, he'd be going into the F file.
Oh, Timmy.
You know, the one that Treaders is in, the F file.
1-3-3-5-3, give us a call.
Did he deserve more time, everyone? Mm. Oh, are you happy with it? Twitter says, yeah, absolutely. 10 minutes was plenty. Our national team is shocking. Sort that out first, says Shane.
No, that's a bit harsh.
And the Twitter said, would Timmy Cahill have been happy to receive charity minutes? Well, I think on this occasion, I reckon he deserved the charity minutes to say farewell on one last time and see whether he could produce one last piece of magic.
Mm.
He's not playing much.
It was a flat game to watch. At times it was comical. And the Lebanon football team didn't really care.
I mean, they didn't know they were playing.
They didn't even try.
1-3-3-5-3 family, get on board. I just want to know. I'm uncomfortable with the way we sent him off.
Yeah.
I really am.
I thought it was a nice way.
I think he deserved better.
I think we could have
waved him around the grandstands and done everything else, Jars. Did
he have his strip off?
I have sure. I didn't watch.
Pardon?
I didn't watch.
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, well, the family can tell.
Did he give the corner post one last touch-up?
No, he didn't. No. You said you watched it, Charles.
No, I watched it, but I watched it when they blew the... I didn't see the after. Two touches when he was on.
All right. 1-3-3-5-3. Did Timmy Cahill get the right send-off? I just want to know. I think a man of that ilk deserved a little better.
Hey, Roy's coming up next. Andrew Simons talking cricket, T20 tonight.
Andrew Australia. Simons to
Don't
you.
Don't call him Roy, mate.
Can I call him?
Only his mates.
Andrew Simons, all right, please.
Roy's next for the rush hour.
You've got no mates.
104.7 Triple M.
Tune it into Foxtel tonight, everybody. The Australia Gillette T20 Series v India tonight, 6:15 live, ad break free during play. Only on Fox Cricket on Foxtel. And the one and only, we've got our man. Finally nailed him, tracked him down.
It's about time, Lou.
Andrew Simons, I think on debut on the Rush Hour. Roy, welcome.
Thanks, fellas. How are you?
Make a comeback, mate. Go out there and show these young pups how to bat and take them on.
No. Look, I know everyone's frustrated. And I think the frustration is fair enough. But they've got a chance, I suppose, now. They can reset. This is a new series. What we don't want to see is the same mistakes being made in this series. So now we need to rebuild, but we need to rebuild in the right way. You know, we don't need to play fancy shots under pressure.
No.
We need to play our best shot under pressure and these sorts of things. Just do the basics right and take the game out as long as we can, and then we'll try and beat them right at the end.
Roy, I've got to run this one past you. I don't think we're going to get a second chance at this, but the...
Lou.
The players packed.
I've been red hot on this,
Roy, and I need your thoughts on it. Can you please compete with us, smile with us, fight on with us, and dream with us, please, Roy?
That was desperate measures, and they had to be seen to be doing something. And I'll give that 0 out of 10. Yeah. It was unnecessary.
Oh, please! I'm still recovering, Roy, and I didn't play for our great country.
It wasn't good.
Roy, let's talk about the formats and the schedule. You've been a part of it. What it was like as it was transitioning. Are we playing too much cricket? Are we not settling guys down? Are we picking too many different teams? Is there not enough guys just playing roles and trying to be different things? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, quick snapshot of it all. When I was playing, we were asking to play if we could play less, playing too much. And blokes aren't doing enough time domestically, you know, getting used to the grind, scoring their runs, bowling lots of overs and all this sort of thing. There's way too many people, in my opinion, being picked at a mediocre level and being thrust into the international scene, and they're up against the best batting and bowling in the world, and they're wondering why they're not succeeding. In my opinion, they needed to do what a Mike Hussey did, what a Michael Kasparovic did. Look, hard time, like just get the numbers on the board. Matty Hayden, bingo, perfect example. Mm. So when these blokes actually went to play for their country, my God, they were hungry. The world's changing. Animals are different now. The people are different. Mm. These kids are different. So someone needs to work out a way to sort of tap into their minds, I suppose.
Roy, what about the selectors? And surely these kids who get rushed through, and we've got one here in South Australia at the moment, Lloyd Pope, everyone's calling him the next Warnie because on debut he takes a heap of wickets and then he sort of flatlines and everyone goes, oh, he's no good. Well, this young man shouldn't really be in a conversation for another 2 or 3 years. except for the part that selectors are keeping an eye on him and maybe sending Shane Warne his way from time to time for a bit more learning of his craft. So surely the selectors...
What that does is automatically intimidates the poor kid because he's thinking, oh, yeah. What should I be?
Mm. Yeah.
The poor kid's probably not even taken 21st class wicket.
Not at all.
No.
Let alone five in an innings. Mm. So they're barking way up the wrong tree. This poor kid is hiding to nothing. And, you know, he hasn't done anything yet. Keep him under the radar.
Yep.
But don't go and tell everyone that this kid, he could be the next Shane Warne, because he won't be another Shane Warne.
Good call.
What are we talking about? There won't be another one.
It was rare. Roy, can you tell the family here in Adelaide that you and Matty Hayden, your best mate, love fishing? Now, there's a story going around that you two had to swim back in. Mm. 3-4 Ks, there were sharks everywhere. What the hell happened out there? Right.
So we'd been over on North Stradbroke for a few days, and so we go fishing. And the sand moves there constantly. So you're looking at your GPS, and you weave your way out through this bar, which is a tricky one. You kink and your dog leg, and the sand had moved a bit, and I was at the helm, shall we say? And a set wave stood up in front of us, and a decision had to be made.
Right.
They were going to break on the boat. So momentum is everything, as we know.
Yeah.
So I got the boat moving forward.
Yeah,
and the first wave, the nose of the boat busted through the first wave as it was breaking on us. Second wave fills us up and pushes us side on. Third wave hits the boat.
Gotcha. Yeah.
We're in. We're gone. Both sideways, and we're in the water.
Right.
Jumped in the water.
Yeah.
As we jumped in the water, I noticed Haydos grabbed something off the dash and as he went in.
Ooh.
So we come to the top, and we saw a bit of foam and that, and I thought, shit, that's not ideal, but everyone all right? Yep.
Yep.
We're all good. Haydos just starts swimming for the beach. He's off. Good, very good swimmer. Strong swimmer,
yep.
Hayden. So he's off. And I'm left there with Trent Butler, mate of ours.
Oh, buddy.
From the local sort of tackle shop in the fishing industry sort of thing.
Yeah.
Not the fittest bloke in the world, and he's in shock.
Yep.
He's in shock.
And so I whistle at Haydos, and he pulls up, and he turns around and said, no, you're going to have to come back. We might have to do this together sort of thing.
Yep, right.
So he came back, and we start sort of heading towards the beach, but what you need to realise is a 5-knot current taking us away from where we want to go to.
Oh, no.
And so we got Trent a bit shell-shocked, and so we're trying to nurse him in. Long story short, we get to a point and Trent sort of he's doing dog paddle and he's sort of doing a bit of swimming and he's letting him pull up for a break, get his breath back, and we go again. Anyway, as he sort of goes again this one time, Haydos sort of leans behind him and he's looking at me and he's going, how about, you've got to picture this, close your eyes.
Yeah.
I'd knock him out and then we drag him in. And Haydos, he's been to university.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, this is shark feeding time. It's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
North Stradbroke, pilchards and that everywhere. Schools. And I'm thinking, that has got to be the dumbest thing he's ever said to me.
From a scholar.
A blood nose.
Yeah.
Sharks in the water.
What a
bait fish.
Oh.
So I said, no, mate, that's not a very good idea. We've just got to hang in there with him and just get him over to the beach.
Yeah, at least suffocate him, Roy.
Yeah.
So we get to we nearly get to the beach, right? We're probably a couple hundred metres, and there's a big sandbar there. And my feet hit the bottom, and I stood up, and I was neck deep in water. And I said to Trent, I said, mate, you can stand up and get a proper breather if you want. And he tried to stand up, and he just went straight to the bottom. Anyway, I said, mate, he had the biggest pair of board shorts on you've ever seen. You know those big okanuis that used to go over your knees and halfway down your shin?
Yeah.
I said, mate, why don't you rip them off? That'll make it a lot easier for you.
Naked.
He goes, mate, no chance. My missus gave me those for Christmas. I'm surrounded by idiots.
You are at this point,
Sammy's going to be naked.
Jesus. He wouldn't take his shorts off, but we'd get him through that break and over the shore break and onto the beach, and he just collapsed in a heap on the sand, this bloke. I look over to Haydos, and there's nothing wrong with him. He could have done that another 10 times.
Yeah.
And he reaches into his togs, and he rips out his sunglasses and puts them on.
No.
That's what he grabbed off the dashboard when we left the boat.
He grabbed his sunglasses.
Aren't you supposed to leave all personal belongings and just get out?
That's right.
Aren't you worried about your fellow fishermen?
Yep.
So he's grabbed the sunnies, put them down the togs, and took off swimming.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
So we lost all our gear and everything. Yeah, oh, it was a disaster.
Oh, Roy, great to talk to you, mate. Well done, buddy. Cannot wait to see you in action on Fox tonight, because it kicks off at 6:15 live and ad break free. You can catch the Aussies taking on the Indians tonight on Foxtel. Thanks, Roy.
No worries. Thanks, boys.
There is Andrew Simons on the rush out with Jars and Louis. What a great story. 104.7 Triple M. Righto, Jazz, listen up tonight on Fox. It's a tough time. It's 4:45 our time, ahead of obviously the T20 match between Australia and India. If you want to know about the rich tapestry of the history of cricket between Australia and India, let's talk to this man and watch this program. It is called, Jazz, Two Nations, One Obsession.
Yeah.
And it's by filmmaker Peter Dixon, who's on the line right now. Pete, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're going to give you a massive shout out right now. This is just must-see TV. Congratulations. Mm. We've been able to get a sneak peek, and it's just taken us right back through history, and it is absolutely amazing. Well done.
Thank you. That's great to hear. Yeah, I'm pretty proud of it. I get really nervous days like today, like when it first comes out for the public to view, and yeah, you sort of go, is it any good? Is it any good?
It's your baby, Pete, isn't it? You've put so much into it.
Yeah, I suffer that. I suffer that a lot, handing it over.
What I love the most about it, Pete, is, and I think you're targeting guys like Jars and myself who are late 40s, early 50s, you're capturing the nostalgia of our youth and giving us something that we recollect but we want to relive, because right at the moment we're a little bit disillusioned with what's happening on the international scene, and that's not our fault and that's not your fault, but to be able to go back and capture stuff that you've got recollection of, it's just amazing to sit there and go through it, because you actually... You re-grow up.
It's a great point. I deliberately stayed away from the currents. The Australians, it's probably not worth doing at the moment anyway, because they're all they're all under the pump. And the Indians, they're current. I mean, there's lots of minefields I have to navigate with access. Yeah. The BCCI control them. So, and you know, I don't have a lazy 100 grand in my back pocket to hand Coley, you know. I stayed away from that. But a lot of the reason for that is past players are better in what I do, in the storytelling, because they just give more. Current players, I mean, even in footy, as you both well know, straight bat, very hard to. So I prefer the recently retired and the past players. So when I went over there to India, I mean, the chance to spend time with Kapil Dev and Ravi Shastri and these guys who, as you said, I'm the same. I grew up just idolising Kapil Dev. And to sit there and, you know, you can't afford to get starstruck in this game, because otherwise you just won't make anything. But I must admit, when I first met him, I thought, geez, how am I going to do this? Because he doesn't look much different either.
Why didn't Cricket Australia stand by Andrew Simons in the disgusting monkey gate sledge? Can you tell us what happened there?
Yeah, I sort of delve into that. That's in part two tomorrow
night.
Yeah,
that was fascinating.
Yeah, I to give credit to Cricket Australia, I didn't think they would let me put that through. Right. So when they saw it, I went, oh, because I just don't want to make a fluff piece. This has got to be real. This is a documentary, and I'm strongly believe in that. Yeah. So I handed it in. I thought, oh well, we'll see how we go. I thought they would pull it, but to their credit, they kept it in. But they feel, the Australian players at that time, the leadership group felt highly disillusioned with Cricket Australia, the board. And, I mean, in my view of it, in my personal view going through it with everyone, they just had to bow to the BCCI. They couldn't afford at that point to put them offside. There was financial issues. AB goes through it in detail. He was on the board at the time. And so he sort of came, he gives us their perspective, but even today he's still disappointed.
Pete. That was wrong. You've got to stand by your own, don't you?
You do. And, I mean, I think AB makes a comment like, do you suffer the pain now for the good later on?
Yes, spot on.
And maybe that's the case, but, mate, right now India are controlling 85% of the world of the cricket's financial,
clout. Tough landscape.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pete, it'd be wrong of us just to roll through the points, because what you've got to do, you've got to watch this to really appreciate it. You've got to sit in front of the telly, Fox, get on it tonight, get on it tomorrow night. One and two parts of just brilliant historian stuff from you in terms of just giving us a telling of what has happened between Australia and India over basically our lifetimes. It's magnificent. So well done again.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. Appreciate
it. So, tough time tonight, 4:45 ahead of the cricket on Fox 501. And then, of course, tomorrow night, part two. It is on as well, 8 o'clock, the much more enjoyable time of 8. It is Two Nations, One Obsession. That man is Peter Dixon. Pete, well done.
Great job, mate.
Good luck with it all.
Yeah, great to chat. Thanks, guys.
Triple S. The Rush Hour's quiz with No Name, thanks to Automasters. Got a Holden? Switch and save at Automasters on your servicing and repairs. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS.
Tuesday was a good day, 2K Tuesday. We gave away the cash yesterday, Jazz. Who's playing today for $1,000 thanks to Automasters?
Well, we're going to Aldinga Beach. And hello, Martin. Welcome.
G'day, Jazz. G'day, Louie. How are we going, fellas?
Really good, Marty. I understand you've made yourself a purchase today.
Oh, yeah, been golf shopping, so it's always good fun.
Oh, very nice. All right, so if we can't get some back here, mate, for you, what are we playing off?
Well, it was in the low 30s, but now I'm down to 29, so I'm getting there.
Nothing wrong with that, mate.
That's very nice, mate. All right, 10 questions, 60 seconds. You got one Automasters lifeline. I did very much any extras are going
just
around.
Just the
today.
One, Lou.
No,
just the one?
No, two? No, okay.
Sorry, all right, and be fair to say, I reckon there might be some kind of firewall built in there today by Murph.
Correct, mate. Lights are flashing.
I wouldn't be surprised.
All right, Marty, time starts at the end of the first questions. Here's Jar. Good luck.
Thank you.
How many goals did Timmy Cahill kick last night?
None.
Which ground is tonight's T20 match being played at between Australia and India?
Pass.
Name the country Australia is playing against in the Women's World T20 semi-final there, Martin.
Automasters.
Which AFLW Crows player is dating Keegan Brooksby? Jeez.
Aaron Phillips.
Oh. That's all right. What was the score between Australia and Lebanon last night? What was the score?
3-0.
What sample team? Oh, this is just crap. Does Tom Sparrow play for? Go Panthers.
Eagles.
Which Australian NBL player has the nickname Jingles?
NBA.
Well, that's it.
Jingles.
Jingles. Just killing.
Pass.
Is Adelaide United's Craig Goodwin Simon Goodwin's second cousin?
No.
Marcus Bontempelli has signed a 2-year extension. Spell Bontempelli.
No.
Poor old Martin.
Martin.
Martin. We apologise, mate.
On behalf of...
I've been shafted, haven't I?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It was always going to happen, but I didn't think at this level. So as a result of this, Marty, I'm going to welcome you back tomorrow to play again.
Hang on.
I tell you what, I will not have this protecting of Owen's backside live on our show just because we give away some cash yesterday make it so bloody hard.
Yeah, but it's
hard.
A tough quiz, mate. You don't give away easy money.
What a load of crap.
Yeah, good on you, Jars. Exactly right.
The line of questioning is just embarrassing from my end. And I don't want to be a part of it.
I agree with you, Louis.
Martin, I don't normally apologise for anything, but I will apologise for that.
Arthur.
That is absolute crap. And I'll tell you what, welcome back tomorrow. I'll talk to you about the same time.
Thank you very much, boys.
All right, have a great day.
Wow.
Cheers, lads.
Get the credit out.
Are we going to go through the ones you got wrong?
Nah.
Oh, come on. There were some good questions there.
It is completely irrelevant.
Jeepers, Evan, you just put your foot down.
You know what I'm doing with it?
Oh, family.
I'm ripping it up. And I tell you what, if I was going to do the other office, I'd use it.
They'll be just as tough tomorrow, those questions. Don't worry about that. Right?
If you build anything in like that tomorrow, I'll tell you what, I will hand out.
Well, why don't you do the questions?
Seven Automasters.
Why don't you write the questions?
No, it's not my job.
Why don't you do the 10 questions tomorrow?
One job, Ace. One job.
Make it fair. Sean.
It's the rush hour.
God.
Jars and Louis.
Have a look at you two. Triple M.
Hey, just quickly.
Jars and Murph on the same team. Yeah, that's about right.
Hey, if you've got a Ford, switch and save at Automasters.
That's about right.
On your servicing and repairs.
Jars' little man,
Murph. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS. The Rush Hour, Jars and Louis here at Triple M.
Time to talk a little bit of footy. Jars and family. And big call coming from your mate over at the over 55s.
What's happened?
Suggesting Adelaide are going to give up pick 813 and their 2019 first round pick for Jack Lekosius.
They're not going to sell the farm.
And the question is, should Adelaide sell the farm? Two things that obviously come up. Now's not the right time to be selling farms, I wouldn't have thought. No. And B, that is just so far off the mark.
Well, my intel is that the Gold Coast have got their mittens on...
firmly into the boys?
Young Jack Lekosius and young Rankin. So that's two good pickups for the Gold Coast.
And Murph, I'm going to allow you to be fanboy for a moment here. Yes. Tell me why that statement is ridiculous as well.
The Crows can't give up any of the 2019 draft picks because they've already given up one.
Yep, and you're not allowed to do so. They can't do any more future picks. So just as they often say, be alert but not alarmed with crap like that getting around. When you catch up with your mate.
Well, I've dropped some crap.
Yeah, I know, but Jesus, I tell you what, right now I'm standing in it. Honestly.
I tell you what is crapping me off. The AFL dishing out some more funds to the Gold Coast Football Club, the Gold Coast Suns Football Club, to fix their financial woes. Honestly, that'd be what, 2 or 3 mil?
Again,
they'll be getting another 2 or 3 mil on top of
50
the 20,
plus, 50, burn up, whatever it is.
Yeah. Wow,
she's you know what she is? She's a bottomless pit. It's like the lemon car you buy. You just keep throwing cash at it and cash at it and cash at it, and they said, "Oh no, we can fix it."
But Lou, do you agree? And the family, do you agree? It's a graveyard up there for franchises.
Always has been. Always,
isn't it? They don't succeed.
It's a transient population.
What a waste of money
that rolls through there, and you can guarantee that every sporting club will die a very slow death.
Mm. Well done, Shawnee. Round of music. There should only be one team in Queensland, one AFL team in Queensland,
absolutely,
as far as I'm,
because you want the sport healthy.
Yeah.
And the Lions have got their own battles. They look like they may have turned the corner.
Yeah, but they'll still need some more funding.
Without getting too technical, there is still 3 or 4, if not 5 clubs solely dependent on the AFL handouts.
Well, St Kilda are $15 million in debt.
To survive. Yeah, if that's a business, it's not happening. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
I agree, Lou.
And again, then you want to stretch this debate, you go, the whole Tasmanian debate and whether they deserve
a team.
They
should be, yeah.
And you go, how is it even possible? And that decision, I'd love to go through the thinking again of placing a team on the Gold Coast, what they thought it was going to cost, how we're going to set it all up. They couldn't have made more mistakes if they tried.
Because of the population growth. Yeah. And they get all sucked in by the stats. They go, they're all moving up there. It's going to be a football state. It's not. It's a rugby league. It's a rugby union state.
And it's a retiree state. And guess what? The retirees haven't got that much money. Next time you read the census, just read it for what it's worth.
Now, the other word is St Kilda may overlook this young talent, Max King, at number 4. Now, he's a 200-centimetre key forward. Done his knee this year.
Kicked 8 or 9 in that talent. First game. Pulled down the sky. Yep. Can absolutely
He's got a twin
play.
Brother called Ben. Yeah. Both, well, they're obviously, he's 200 centimetres, but the word is Port Adelaide may sniff around there. This is, I'm not saying it may happen, but St Kilda, obviously they need what? More midfielders, don't they, really?
They need
something.
Need help.
Because Dan Hannanbury,
they're going to need a lot of help. They need a Hail Mary.
Port Adelaide do with him?
They could. It's funny. Future. If you go through it, you go, right, do they need another big 200-centimetre forward? Well, you need good players regardless of where they are.
You've got Big Chuck.
You got Charlie Dixon. Mm. Scotty Lysette comes in now. So you got him and Ryder will pinch it forward.
Up forward.
Forward. So there's two big key
tools. You've got Westhoff, who's been dominant.
You got Hoff, who's got a Todd Marshall replacement ready and waiting, who's a genuine
Tom Marshall. Yeah, Marshall's
Toddy.
A good yet. Good
you've got Mr. Watson, his board shorts when he wants to
Jacko.
Play. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So do they need him? You got Dougal Howard down the other end, who's formerly a forward before doing the knee, now playing centre half back.
Yep.
I don't know. If he's the best available, you nearly pick him because if he's a genuine key forward in the making, you can't buy them. And by the time he comes good.
Oh yeah.
Charlie will be up to the rise, if you know what I mean. Yep. So, I mean, like for like, you got to restock, don't you?
Yeah. Well, that's just the intel lurking around. But Port may pick this young talent up, Maxie King.
All right, staying on Port, Jared Pollock spoken, suggesting that the relationships are still pretty good and there might have even been a few wedding invites thrown out.
No, there's no bad blood. Like me and Kenny.
No wedding invitations or the.
Oh, there was a few wedding invitations. Exactly. Yeah, there was a few. So, but nah, me, Kenny, Vossie, we still talk pretty regular. So it's all good.
Allow me to interpret that,
Jared.
We still talk pretty regular,
Jared.
Which will be, and I imagine, not sure what round they meet next year.
Jared
Vossie in particular. Couple of choice words on the way past. Won't be able to help himself, will he?
Jared, come on, mate.
The stripes don't
There is
suit
no
you.
Communication.
And staying on that, Jasper Pittard, you made ridiculous statement to me.
The rush hour start of the pre-season, we said that we don't want to see What are those headlines?
Yeah,
I've come back in great nick.
Yeah, I'm going to be this. Or it's going to be that.
You know, we want accountability with big statements. Yeah, well, I think Pittard's in his new North Melbourne jumper has come out and said, "I'm in the best shape of my life."
Oh, geez.
Now Jasper, why aren't you in the best shape of your life when you were wearing a Port Adelaide jumper the last two or 3 years? Okay. But he's come out the last couple of days with a photo with Polly.
Oh,
I'm in the best shape I've ever been.
I think
can't wait to play for. Is that how he talks?
Yeah, I think so.
Can't play there.
I think
that's got to go on the file.
I think two things. One, I don't think that's Jasper Pittard's accent.
No, I know. I don't know who that is.
I had him a bit more high pitched. And two, anyone looks fitter in stripes.
Yeah.
Including your good self.
I did in the 80s.